हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 34. Shri Sukadev Goswami continued. Being very pleased by the unalloyed devotion of Maharaj Ambarish, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gave the king his disc, which is fearful to enemies and which always protects the devotee from enemies and adversaries. Srila Prabhupada comments, a devotee, being always engaged in the service of the Lord, may not be expert in self-defense, but because a devotee fully depends on the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is always sure of protection by the Lord. The Lord also promises, Kaunteya pratijanihi, ina me bhakta bhaktaf pranashyati. O Arjuna, you may declare to the world that the devotees of the Lord are never vanquished. Right, so technically within, that means the Indian system of martial arts, then you have different levels of martial arts. And so the, what do you call it? So the first level is you know what we generally count as your general techniques, you know what people learn and all that. The second level would be special techniques. Third level would be kind of like you could say mystic, you know, doing things that aren't standard, like being able to jump, you know, 40 feet high and stuff like that. And then the fourth level is the deity fights through you. Right, and that, but the fifth level is the deity does the fighting. Huh? No. Means like Prahlad Maharaj. So technically, he's on the fifth level of martial arts because he just sits there, and the Lord comes and he does the fighting like that. So we see here that's the whole thing. The devotees, in that surrender, then they're on that topmost platform. So that's where it goes, because generally it's thought if you can do if the first or second, you know, and only the third, then you get that in, you know, Chinese, you know, what's it, wushu movies, you know, stuff like that. Wuxia, I think.
Ninja.
Yeah, and all that kind of jazz like that. But and then they'll think that's outrageous, but there's two levels above that. So they don't even know about those ones. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, to worship Lord Krishna, Maharaj Ambarish, along with his queen, who is equally qualified, observe the vow of Ekadasi and Dvadasi for 1 year. Srila Prabhupada comments, to observe Ekadasi Vrata and Dvadasi Vrata means to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those interested in advancing in Krishna consciousness must observe Ekadasi Vrata regularly. Maharaj Ambarish's queen was equally as qualified as the king. Therefore, it is possible for Maharaj Ambarish to engage his life in household affairs. In this regard, the word tulya shilaya is very significant. Unless a wife is equally as qualified as her husband, household affairs are very difficult to continue. Tulya shilaya, that's the weights, you know, the balance, like that. So it meant it was equal. Like that. They're both the same. So then it's balanced, yes.
Sometimes we see that the couple, as you previously mentioned, that there is a compatibility.
Yes.
But then one develops very nicely, but the other one is not exactly. So the gap is growing, and then there is a conflict. Although the initial thing was okay.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, you have to divide that into two. Means to work with it. There's two things there. There's the devotional development,
Yeah.
And then there's the proper conduct within the relationship. So the conduct within relationship shouldn't change. That should go on and improve by, you know, by practice and application. Devotionally, then you might find one develops more than the other. But as husband and wife, that relationship still goes on nicely. Like that.
Because here we see it's like perfect.
Yes, here it's both together. That means both their relationship, their compatibility as a husband and wife, and their devotional ability then match.
So this is kind of rare.
Yeah, but it's rare. You could say this is would be the ideal, or this, you know, you could say the standard of what we're trying for. Mm-hmm. You know, so that means then you know, trying to cultivate, trying to encourage, and like that, create the environments in which one can advance nicely. Like that. But it shouldn't break down the relationship as husband and wife. Like that, if the science is understood. Right? But the thing is just by being Krishna conscious and functioning on that without any having that material desire and all that, even if they don't know technically means the mechanics of it, it will still work because the devotional service, you know, they'll be humble, they'll be tolerant, they'll be respectful towards the others, not looking for it for themselves, absorbed in devotional service. So then they're not looking for a specific aspect of sense gratification, so then there's no anger that comes after frustration of it not being fulfilled. So you can, by that, make it work even if they're not that compatible. So when devotees talk about, oh, we're devotees, it doesn't matter, it'll work, that's what it means. That's what you have to have. Not that we're devotees and so we don't care for a devotional service and don't care for the rules and then everything will be perfect.
Then it sounds like it's Madhyama and above, because below Madhyama it's not going to work because it's all or nothing basically.
Yes, but what I'm meaning is but when devotees are saying, oh, we're devotees, it doesn't matter about the rules, that's not the neophyte level.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, so but it's very popular. Right, you know, they get together, they see, and then, of course, you know, you want to check out if they're compatible, and then only if they're compatible, then we'll check the charts. And then when they think, okay, this is good, yes, let's check the charts, then they check the charts and they're terrible. Then it's, oh, we're devotees, it doesn't matter, this and that. And yeah, so, you know, that's the problem. That's why, first thing, just see that there's common nature, you know, basically, then check the charts. And this should actually be before they actually start interacting.
Yeah, because then the attachment is there already, so it's very difficult to break.
Once you start, if the interaction has any aspect of pleasantry or any potential, attachment is there. That's why one should check the common culture and common chart, then only. That's why it says when it's arranged. You know, it says, you know, what is arranged? That doesn't mean that there's, it's just say, okay, you marry you. I mean, we do have cases like that, especially temple presidents like to do that. And some of them are really good at it, and some of them are really not very good at it. So if they're attuned to, in other words, what Prabhupada is talking about, the manager should know Varnashram, because the point is they know nature, so they know how to engage people. So someone who is inclined like that, then he could see common natures, and then like that. But now, as you have the advantage of that and the understanding of that the charts are of value. So if you do that, then you can say, putting that couple together, then you can say it's arranged, even though they're going to cultivate it and develop it.
Yeah.
Right? Generally, it sounds the way the modern thing is that there's no cultivation, they just exist. But no, they arrange that this is a good match. Then they have to cultivate it and make it work.
Yeah.
You know? And so if they do that, then, you know, so that's done beforehand, they're trained. So the boy and girl are trained by their families, and that, then you check that it's, you know, equal, like same kind of nature, interest, and that then the charts are good. Then if they apply themselves, then it'll work out quite nicely. So that's what's recommended, that's the best. And if not, then you know, wherever you can fit in below that. You
meet in Hawaii.
Yeah, until the, what do you call it? Pin the tail on the donkey, right? You know. You know, that kind of, yeah. So that's the thing is that If that's understood, that this is what the standard is, then people work for it. The difficulty is it's known, but where's the effort? You know, you have a few individuals that try to get into matchmaking, but for them it's more kind of a, you know, interest. It's a way to dovetail their gossipy nature. You know, but it's not necessarily that, this should be like this, because they just want to make things happen, you know, because they're the controller, and then they sit back, isn't that great? Like that. So then, you know, and that can work if they're all in the same community. Like that. But when you have a mixed international, then they have to be actually better at understanding natures to be able to, because natures are generic. So, but to be able to pick out which will go where and everything like that, you know. So there's because it's like we see these like combinations of German and South American, you know, like that. So Germans are, you know, everything's pukka like that, and South Americans have from the religious side, you know, everything's proper and everything's done in the family, and so on that level, on the family level, then they can, you know, one looks at it from the mechanics, then you can make things work. You know, so that's the things you have to see, what's the common nature, and then you can see beyond the international borders or regional borders. But otherwise, it's easier to work within your own, how you say, group. Like, you know, how you say, you stick to this, the hill on this side that things are green, and avoid the hill on that side that things aren't green. Like that's your general. Yeah. Yes. A little louder, please. So you have competition. It means in the morning there's not much competition, but it's cold. And now that it's not cold, but you have competition.
And the wife and husband have
done equal? Equal, yes.
Because if one is more elevated than the other, then more.
No.
In one, like now, some devotees just say it's like nice when the husband is more advanced, then the wife can...
No, that's more advanced devotionally, but we're talking about the material qualities. That's what you're matching. You're not... means the spiritual also, there should be same spiritual interest. The goal should be the same. That kind of drive should be the same, though they may be at different levels. That's okay. So spiritually that... But we're talking about it's brahminical nature. They're both brahminical, kshatriya, they're both kshatriya, vaishya, vaishya, shudra, shudra. You know, how you say... Antija, you know, like that, you know. So, you know, it works out. So that's why you check the charts.
Check the passport.
Check the passport also. Definitely check the passport. Yeah.
But in cases of pratiloma marriage,
there is no... Pratiloma. No, it can work. The thing is that then the difficulty is that basically the... If you're working on the principles, is the feminine nature follows the masculine. Okay? So then... If it's anuloma, right, and the husband is higher than the wife following the husband, she's going to a higher platform. So it's actually an elevation of the whole process. And if it's pratiloma, that means the wife is going down. So then it's you know, where's the benefit? That's there. What I'm saying is that's why it's not recommended. But the point is you follow the rules and all that, you can make it work. But that's them. Then what they'll get is a child, and that's something else. Many times people don't consider the element of the children. Right? Oh, it doesn't matter, this and that. But then you end up with a mixed child. You know, it's like, how you say? Chapatis and a dry sabji that tastes like a chutney. Right, you know what I'm saying? Like that. So that's the whole point, is they don't understand it's the child, because the concept of grihastha life is about the children, about having children. But in the modern thing, no, it's just about the individuals involved. It's about the parents. You know, because if there doesn't get along, then who gets the kids and who gets what and fighting over everything. What's forgotten is that for the kids, then the parents are the parents. That's just the way it is. But between the two individuals, then they can be married and be related or get divorced and not be related. It's just a legality. But for the children, it's not a legality. It's a matter of this is the parents. But I've never heard in the Western thing that that's so much of a thing. Some care worry about the children. But it's always about, oh, no, it's just the way it is. You know, mommy and daddy, you know, this and that. And when you get go bigger, you'll understand. You know, it's not about the kid. So the point is in the Vedic thing is why you want to have equal. Because then the child will also be that same nature. Otherwise, then you're taking two natures. What you're going to get, you don't know. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? That's the point. So, because depending on the balance, how it comes out, you can get a variety of things. But you have two things that two natures are the same, then you get the same nature, right? So even you have, let's say, have two nishadas, but if two nishadas marry each other, they'll get a nishada. You won't get some, but if a Nishada marries a Chandala, or a Nishada marries a Swapacha, or a Chandala marries a Swapacha, then you start getting more and more far out things.
So the only hope is bhakti,
you know,
in this case.
The only hope is bhakti. Because bhakti then can elevate the character of the person, and so therefore that's why it says that a dog eater who's a devotee will be better in one sense than in the way of perfection of human life than the Brahmin who's not a devotee. The Brahmin who's not a devotee is a Brahmin. But the point is they won't get that full benefit of being a Brahmin by becoming a devotee. While the dog eater, he'll follow the rules and regulations of devotional service. He doesn't carry on eating dogs. Right? He takes up devotional life. And then by that, he's living the Brahminical lifestyle. But now he knows Krishna. So maybe he doesn't know all the mantra, tantras, and puranadis. But the point is he knows Krishna. So that's a better position. But it's a better position if one has the devotional attitude. If one has that attitude of, you know, if one has attitude, as an attitude, then it drops, because now the Brahmin will be better behaved than this devotee who's a dog eater. But if that devotee keeps at it and has good association, they'll give up that lower nature and then take up, and then they'll have the qualities of the demigods. So that's the whole point. Does that make sense?
Sometimes devotees, they get together and they have this
They have this
equal nature,
okay.
Equal balance, and they start off. But then right. After, for example, 10 years, we see that one of the partners changes his mood or changes his behavior, and then the other one is figuring out what is that, and then they split because of that after many, many years. So how can we say that maintaining this balance is one of the...
No, it's using the balance. It's just like this. Can you go into a first-class kitchen and cook badly? Yes. So the point is the chart only tells you what you have. You have to do something with it. You know what I'm saying? In other words, I go out, I procure first-class ingredients, blessed in the world. You know, each ingredient from whichever place on the planet has the best. I give it to somebody. Right? Now, they focus, they apply the knowledge that they have about cooking, then they can make something nice. But if they're grumpy and thinking about this and that and like that, then they'll cook badly. So the whole point is when the chart says 80%, that means there's 80% compatibility. But that means you have to apply yourself. It's not automatic. Oh, it's a good chart, so now I have to do nothing. It's not magic. It's like saying, okay, you have a fancy car and now you drive around great. No, you have to drive. You have a nice car, it'll drive if you drive it nicely. But you don't drive it nicely, it's what's the point? This is a mistake that's also made. You still have to work. We're always looking for that out. You know, that thing, I do nothing and I get everything. He said, what? Was that? Could you run that back again? Can I get the website? Everything for nothing. Does that make sense? So this is the point. And so the effort, it doesn't change. The effort on day one, the same effort has to be still made at day, you know, at year 30. It's the same effort. It's just that with practice it gets easier, but you still have to make the effort. You know, just like you're riding a bicycle, then you apply the same effort, then it'll always go nicely. But even if you've been riding the bicycle for 30 years, if you don't pay attention, then you run into things. You understand? So this whole thing, it'll just be magic. It's not me, and why is it out like this? This is not actually a mature mentality. That's why it says the common person is like a child, and therefore the king is like the father. Or the Brahmins are like father. You understand? Because generally people just think it'll just by it happen. But you have to make the effort. But with practice, the effort becomes easier, but you still have to make the effort. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Ekadashi Vrata. For us, that's mainly chant more, or we don't eat grains.
No grains, no beans. No grains or beans. So something else, or is that it? Oh, it's not something like three. No, yeah, no grains or beans. That's that part of it. And then the other part is, because it's a codicil, since it is the mother of devotion, that generally would put more effort into devotional activities. That's why it says don't travel, don't do all those things, because those would distract from it. It's not that you can't travel on a codicil. It's not a codicil is an inauspicious day to travel. It's that since it's so auspicious for devotional service, why would you be traveling? Right. Means if you have to, of course, but the idea is that that's the day to more rounds, more reading, more, you know, special service, special something. The idea is that at least like this, then, you know, a few times a month, then we're trying to make more effort. And then that way, then, because if you chant more rounds on those days, then you'll find that chanting your regular rounds on the other days is easier. Because whatever's standard, that's always difficult. Right? You know, if we're chanting 16 and that's it, 16 will be difficult. But then on a codicil, if we chant something more, and on festivals we chant more. I always remember, you know, Janmashtami is, you know, 64 rounds. You know, get up at midnight, you know, chant, you know, like this. And suddenly, you know, suddenly it'd take 24 hours to get 16 rounds. I mean, 64 rounds done. But these brahmacharis have so many important things to do, you know. Yeah, like that. So, like that, then... You would try. Then if you do that, you chance it, then you find 16 is easier. That's the whole point of festivals. What do you call it? Utsava. It brings you above the regular difficulties. So that's why you, on the daily basis, your nitya is what you can handle. And on the festival days, the special days, then you do beyond what you can handle, what you can handle. Because if it's only one day, you can always do a little bit more. But if we said, okay, now every day, you know, it's going to be like this, then it's a problem. Because you know you can do a little more today, because tomorrow you don't have to, right? So it's just, you know, the mind, it's just tricks for the mind. So, yeah. A person who has no mother at home and whose wife is not agreeable with him should immediately go away to the forest. Because human life is meant for spiritual advancement only. One's wife must be helpful in this endeavor. Otherwise, there is no need of household life. So that's the whole idea. Household life is just another way to engage one's nature in Krishna service. So that's the whole idea. And so if it's not favorable, then what's the point? Then that's the point. One should go to the forest. One should take up vanaprastha. Because otherwise, why endeavor to get so much facility if it's not going to be able to engage nicely? That's the, the same point that goes through. Whatever you're doing, if it's not connected to Krishna, it's a waste of time. So even the study of all the shastras, knowing all the rituals, being very austere, having whatever it is, having great, opulence, power, influence, like the skills, but if it's not connected to Krishna, it's a waste of time. So in the same way, grihastha life is the same. Mm-hmm. Yes.
We can say that in due course of time, it might develop.
That means not only about
grihastha, everything. Like skills even, and studying the Vedas.
But there's a spark.
Spark?
Yes, so the spark, then if there's a spark and you can fan it and it's doing something, then it's a value.
Because on this point, there is a lot of disagreement.
Yes, well, the disagreement means you go to the forest, you remain in the forest. Not that after 10 years we see him go by in a rickshaw with this young Russian girl.
He came from another forest.
Yes. The point is the mistake is made that, okay, I have no attraction for family life. Fine. Now you should be able to do family life based on duty. So now it should be very easy. Because before you were attached, so therefore you were so worried about if I do this or that and balancing it, is there going to be, am I going to get enjoyment out of this? So it's actually harder. So once there is no attachment to family life, that's actually when functioning a family life becomes easier. And so that's then when one puts into that effort based on duty, so it can be situated in the mode of goodness, giving up passion and ignorance. But people think, oh, as soon as I'm not interested, now I'm renounced. But all it is I'm not interested in this family scene. But if they find someone else, sitting around and lamenting and how bad life is, and they listened and no one ever listened, and then next thing you know, they're in the rickshaw together. That's the standard thing here. Fortunately, we don't have as many rickshaws like that, but.
Yeah.
So many people are in the rickshaw. Right? Well, that's what it says. Your mother, the this, that. So whole family's in the rickshaw. Right? So. Yeah. I think once I counted, I think it was 25 or more in one of those little Maruti, being used as one of these little shuttle taxis like that. Impressive, right? Yeah, and the fun part is they never make it in the Guinness Book of World Records. There's a car that stopped. Everyone piles in and squeezes in. This is moving down the road, and the guy's taking money from them and doing the whole thing. They should definitely be, Yes. So there's a lot of things that people take these things because it supports their material attachment. So, okay, here it says I can leave. But is it about engaging grihastha life in Krishna consciousness? Or is it about, it's not working out for sense gratification the way I wanted, so therefore now I can leave. But the point is, you go into this, then you take the responsibility. One remains a brahmachari, then there's a responsibility to be that. Take grihastha, there's a responsibility. So that's the thing, is people don't want to be responsible. They're looking for loopholes, tax loopholes, how they can get out of, So these things aren't the point. Because it says there's no need of household life, because you can't fulfill it. Means there's a need, there's material desire, but in that environment you won't be able to fulfill it. So since you can't fulfill it, then it's left. It just means I don't have the facility, I don't have the karma, so therefore I'm not involved. Then one just moves into vanaprastha and just moves forward like that. So then it's just you have to get rid of any proclivity towards material life by one's sadhana. So it increases the sadhana, and this way then slowly, has that determination. Otherwise, you have to be determined as a grihastha, you have to be determined as a vanaprastha. Either way. It's not that you'll just sit back. This idea of the mode of ignorance, that I'll just sit back and it'll all happen, that doesn't work. Popular, but doesn't work. Yeah. Okay, Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. In the month of Kartik, after observing that vow for 1 year, after observing a fast for 3 nights, and after bathing in the Jamuna, Maharaj Ambarish worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, in Madhuvan. Footnote 11. Shri Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, 3 nights fasting means fasting completely on Ekadasi and not eating on the Dasami or Dwadasi except the permitted amount.
What's the permitted amount?
Someone gave me an Achman spoon. It's actually a lamp, a camphor lamp. But it's an Achman spoon that literally is, you know, that would be what? Like 50 centimeters. Yeah, 50 centimeters. The bowl is probably easily 8 centimeters, 10 centimeters. You know, so now, since Achman is all right, even on Nirjala Kadasi.
We come with our own.
Yeah, we just bring our own. You come to the Charinamrita, right? The guy's got these little spoons. Forget it. Bring out your own spoon. Like that. Yeah. So, Dasami, not eating on the Dasami or Dwadasi. So there's rules on that. What it means is that you're doing, this is the full one. See, that's why we just don't have to eat grains and beans. And if we can increase our hearing and chanting, Hari Bol, that's good. But this means you eat on Dasami, you're normal up to lunch. You don't eat after lunch again. There's no afternoon snack, there's no dinner. Like that. No midnight snack, you know. No,
no
Dagwood sandwiches in the middle of the night, you know. Yeah,
yeah, fasting at night, that's kind of not a problem.
Yes, but it's from noon. Like that. Then you sleep that night. When you wake up in the morning for that, then from there, then you go and you don't eat from there all the way through. And the next morning also, you don't eat until, I think, lunch. In the morning, you just take something to break the fast. You don't actually eat. Because if you eat, then you'll call to sleep. Because the rule is on Dwadasi, you can't sleep. Only after sunset, then you can sleep on Dwadasi. So you stayed up all night. And the only way you can stay up all night and not get hungry is if you stop eating at lunch. See, like that. Because then, you know, the hunger in that, it adjusts. And then you get through the day, and then you're not... Because you haven't eaten, then it's not sleeping as easy. But then as soon as you eat, you'll get sleepy. So I'm not even sure it must be noon, because he went for his bath and everything like that. So you don't eat until lunch. So in the morning, you just take something to break the fast. That's the idea. Then you have the meal. Like the Brajvasis, because they do that, the whole fasting. If you do the full fasting, then all the poisons in the system go into the digestive system. And so then they drink many liters of half milk, half water. Not hot, just, you know, just tons of it they drink. And I think it's plain, no sugar. And so milk it purifies. Like if you have sugar and you bring it to, water bring it to a boil, you put in milk, you'll see all this gray foam come up. That's all the impurities that are there. So the milk will go through and then cleanse the system. So that's what they'll take in the morning. It's a Brajvasi thing, because, you know, they're used to the regular fasting. But then you eat lunch at noon. So that's the not eating for 3 days or 3 nights.
Impressive.
Yes. But that was before what was done on Ekadasi. That was standard. And that was what was meant by, I think, was 8 to 80. From 8 years old, they would start, everyone start this, and then at 80, if they could continue, nice, but if not, they didn't have to follow this strict fasting. Like that, and chanting. I knew one devotee that had been, I think was this, I'm not sure about the staying up, but at least the chanting and all that. They would chant 64 rounds and a full fast, nirjal and 64 rounds. I think they would sleep at night, though. And since they were 8, because it was just what was happening in the family. And so they were teaching in the school, and they would do the full day service, everything, whatever they're doing, get all their hands, and you'd never even notice it was a difference. It was only after a few years that we figured out he's not eating and he's chanting 64 rounds. Like that. Because it was just standard. It was just what they always did. So it wasn't you didn't have to, what do you call it? to get fired up. You didn't have to get a tattoo or something, you know.
Yeah, codicy.
You know, that kind of stuff. You didn't.
Now, when it was dropped? When was it dropped? Like, standard?
This is just Prabhupada introduced that, you know, instead of eating anything under the sun, at least you avoided grains and beans. So, it's a step up. You know, an increase. In other words, that step. And then if people, devotees want to do it, as long as it doesn't affect their other services, it's nice. But if it affects your other service, what's the point? So you see, I think Bhakti Chumars, he would organize, he would do like that, and some devotees, I think it still goes on like that, since it became popular in the mid-90s, like that. Yeah, that all became popular. And then I think who started it, I'm not sure if they continued, but only Bhakti Chumars, I think, continued. But same group.
When Bhakti Vishram Mala Maharaj comes to the temple, every brahmachari fears, because Maharaj has whole light and he performs full ekadasi, and he wants brahmacharis to be there when he comes to our temple.
But do you know when he's coming?
Yeah.
Yeah, so therefore that's why Lord Chaitanya made Samkirtan buses. Everyone gets in the bus and heads down to Taliganj. And then after a few years, why is it every time there's no brahmacharis? They're all out preaching. Yeah. No, it's just, you know, he's very fired up and he's very enthusiastic. So. Following the regulative principles of Maha Abhishek, Maharaj Ambarish performed the bathing ceremony for the deity of Lord Krishna with all paraphernalia. And then he dressed the deity with fine clothing, ornaments, fragrant flowers, garlands, and other paraphernalia for worship of the Lord. With attention and devotion, he worshipped Krishna with all the greatly fortunate Brahmins who are free from material desires. Therefore, you know, so that's their great fortune, is that they're situated on that brahminical platform and free from material desires. That's the fortune. Thereafter, Maharaj Ambarish satisfied all the guests who arrived at his house, especially the brahmanas. He gave in charity 60 crores of cows whose horns were covered with gold plate, right? Not gold leaf, you know, gold plate. It's a slight difference. Whose hooves were covered with silver plate. All the cows were well decorated with garments and had full milk bags. They were mild-mannered, young and beautiful, and were accompanied by their calves. After giving these cows, the king first sumptuously fed all the Brahmins, and when they were fully satisfied, he was about to observe the end of Ekadasi with their permission by breaking the fast. Exactly at that time, however, Durvasa Muni, the great and powerful mystic, appeared on the scene as an uninvited guest. Because uninvited guest, you know, it means they're qualified, the uninvited guest, then basically the whole house has to function around them. That's the principle. Verses 35 to 48. Durvasa Muni expresses his anger towards Maharaj Ambarish. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, after standing up to receive Durvasa Muni, King Ambarish offered him a seat and paraphernalia of worship. Then, sitting at his feet, the king requested the great sage to eat. Durvasa Muni gladly accepted the request of Ambarish Maharaj. But to perform the regulative ritualistic ceremonies, he went to the river Jamuna. There he dipped into the water of the auspicious Jamuna and meditated upon the impersonal Brahman. In the meantime, only a muhurta of the Dwadasi day was left on which to break the fast. Consequently, it was imperative that the fast be broken immediately. In this dangerous situation, the king consulted learned brahmanas. The king said, to transgress the laws of respectful behavior towards the brahmanas is certainly a great offense. On the other hand, if one does not observe the breaking of the fast within the time of Dwadasi, there is a flaw in one's observance of the vow. Therefore, O Brahmanas, if you think that it will be auspicious and not irreligious, I shall break the fast by drinking water. In this way, right, because, so that would must mean that he's also near Jal, because then you're breaking that aspect of the fast, but you haven't broken the aspect of the grain. But at least the fast has been, that aspect has been broken. So it appears that then for 1 year, this is what he was doing. Every Ekadasi and Dwadasi he was following in this way. In this way, after consulting with the Brahmanas, the king reached this decision. For according to Brahminical opinion, drinking water may be accepted as eating and also as not eating. I mean, in India, you eat fruit, it's not eating. Right? You know, you come to the house and, oh, I take, eat this and that, and, you know, no, it's fruit, it's only water, you know, or something like that. So you're not getting out very easily. Srila Prabhupada comments in verse 40. When Maharajan Barish, in this dilemma, consulted the Brahmins about whether he should break the fast or wait for Devasa Muni, apparently they could not give a definite answer about what to do. A Vaishnava, however, is the most intelligent personality. Therefore, Maharajan Barish himself decided, in the presence of the Brahmanas, that he would drink a little water. For this would confirm that the fast was broken, but would not transgress the laws of receiving a Brahmana, right? Because there's no, it means you can't eat before the Brahmana is eaten, but there's no rule about water. There absolutely is no rule about water. Right? When Manu says that whatever you're eating, then an atithi or this guest, you have to feed them. You can't be feeding them one thing and you eating something else, unless, of course, you're eating, you know, how you say, something, you know, something. Yeah, like that. And they're eating really nicely. That's okay, but it can't be the other way around. Right? But water is never taken as, that's never something that is restricted. That's, there's no rule on it. Yeah. So makes sense. Yeah. In the Vedas, it is said, apo snati tan naivasitam naivan na sitam. This Vedic injunction declares that the drinking of water may be accepted as eating or as not eating. So technically, because he has all these other Brahmins and that, then it's not eating. But the problem is Durvasa Muni is the atiti. Right? They're there for the ritualistic ceremony and all that as like this, but they're not the guest as such. So it's, you know, it's slightly different. Yes.
And Bhima Ekadashi? That's not allowed to drink water and Bhima Ekadashi?
Not allowed to?
Drink water and Bhima Ekadashi?
Yes, yes. No, what we're talking about not drinking water is in relation to the guest. You can be drinking water even if the means, if you've offered water to the guest and that he doesn't want to drink water, that's fine. But if you need to drink water, you can do. And then you're going to feed him first. Then feeding him and all that doesn't mean that you can't drink some water. And then, you know, feet range and everything like that. Does that make sense? That's what it's what meaning. There's no rule that you are insulting an atiti by drinking water. Now, if you're drinking water and not offering him water, then that's another thing. You know. Does that make sense? So, but the point is here, he's, you know, like that. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, O best of the Kuru dynasty, after he drank some water, King Ambarish, meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, waited for the return of the great mystic yogi, Durvasa Muni. After executing the ritualistic ceremonies to be performed at noon, Durvasa returned from the bank of the Jamuna. The king received him well, offering all respects. Now he went for the noon bath, but he stayed extra time because he was meditating and all that. So then it was going into a point where the Dwadasi Titi would be end. Right? Because it's after the Ekadasi Titi's end but before the Dwadasi Titi's end. Does that make sense? So this must be one where there was some connection between them and then that, but then, yeah, it's one of those. You know, like you sometimes see is that the breaking the fast is between 8:07 and 8:13. That's because the one's ending and the other, it's just one of those. That's the time when you raise the prices on everything in the Maha shop, right? because no one can discuss. You know, you only have 5 minutes. Yes.
But if you're not observing this, the strict fast, then this karma time for you has not much meaning.
Not like this. Means, in other words, he's taken a vow to follow Ekadasi and Dwadasi like this. And so he's done this for a year. And so then in that case, you'd want to do to get the benefit of the vrata. That's what it said about the vrata.
Yeah.
There's a flaw in one's observance of the vow. But as far as his devotion, no, that's not going to affect that.
I'm talking about the devotees for us. We're not fasting. This break in Ekadasi.
Means the basic thing is it would be after the sun rises, because that's the next day. The night's connected with the previous day. Right? You know, so like that. And so how do you say? Yes. And so that would be your basic. Then if you want to be more technical, then you have to see sometimes if the Ekadasi Titi itself extends into the next day. That's why it says after this particular time. So sometimes you see it's then they give you the time of the sunrise and then before another time. Right? So that means that there was no overlap there, so just when the sun rose, then that means it's already from then you can break the fast. Then that second time that they give, that means generally within the first quarter of the Dwadasi day. So that would be for us is the how generally we're observing it. So within that first quarter. So you take from sunrise to sunset, divide that into four, that sets that time, and the sunrise sets the earliest time. Does that make sense? Like that. But here he seems to be doing it. It's something connected with, you know, that aspect. Okay, that's nice, but even if it's not, then at least it's on Dwadasi. But it appears that the Muhurta for the Dwadasi was going. And here, Muhurta, it appears like it doesn't mean 48 minutes. It means an 11th of a second. Like, you know, the time is running out. You know. Like that. So. The king received him well, offering all respects, but Durvasa Muni, by his mystic power, could understand that King Ambarisha drunk water without his permission. Still hungry, Durvasa Muni, his body trembling, his face curved, and his eyebrows crooked, in a frown, angrily spoke as follows to King Ambarisha, who stood before him with folded hands. Alas, just see the behavior of this cruel man. He is not a devotee of Lord Vishnu. Being proud of his material opulence and his position, he considers himself God. Just see how he has transgressed the laws of religion. So I guess he's upset because he just was down at the Jamuna meditating upon Ambarish Maharaj all this time because he was God and he was absorbed in the impersonal Brahman and then like that. And then, yeah. Srila Prabhupada, just see how he's transgressed the laws of religion, Srila Prabhupada comments. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has diverted the entire meaning of this verse as spoken by Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni used the word Nri Shamshaya to indicate that the king was cruel, but Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur interprets it to mean that the king's character was glorified by all the local people. He says that the word Nri means by all the local people, and that Shamshasya means of he, Ambarish, whose character was glorified. Similarly, right, because from the roots and then how they're applied in the grammar, then you could come up with these different words. That's why those expert in grammar can find different meanings. Does that make sense? So that's where word jugglery comes from. It's just you're using other approaches to the words, and then from getting these other meanings, then you give a different interpretation, and like this. Like that. Okay. Similarly, one who is very rich becomes mad because his wealth, because of his wealth, and is therefore called Shriya Unmatasya. But Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur interprets these words to mean that although Maharaj Ambarish was such an opulent king, he was not mad after money, for he had already surpassed the madness of material opulences. Right? So he's showing the root of the words actually in line with Krishna consciousness that match the nature of Ambarish Maharaj. So you can say is this is actual. The other is you would say ordinary. It's not an elevated use of the Sanskrit language. It's just common. Like that. Similarly, the word Isha Mani Naha is interpreted to mean that he was so respectful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead that he did not transgress the laws for observing Ekadasi Paran, despite the thinking of Durvasa Muni, for he only drank water. In this way, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has supported Ambarish Maharaj in all his activities. Right? And also then you have the aspect that it comes out as a pastime. So then, you know, it's like he also explains all the different criticisms of Shishupal, like all 100 of them, all in line like this in Krishna consciousness. You know, so it says like, oh, he's without, he, you know, no one knows what Varna he is, right? You know, he's born here in Mathura, then he goes to there and he's dealing as, what do you call it? Yeah, it means, no, as a Vaishya. You know, then he's, you know, a messenger, for, and then he's this, and then he's that. So he says no one can understand his Varna, meaning he's outside the Varnashram system, so that means he's like an outcast. But then Vishwanath shows us what he was saying was, no, you can't tell what he, because he's above the Vedic system. He's above the Varnashram system. He's transcendental. And so he's pointing out his transcendental position. Yes?
It's very easy when it's so obvious. Maharaj Ambarish is so right and the Durvasa Muni is so wrong. But usually in day-to-day life or in, even between devotees, it's hard to understand. Somebody is a little bit right here, somebody else is a little bit right there.
So the right part is right, and then you have to look at
disputes.
Yes, but then what's the balance? What's okay? Now there's the right in what they're saying, right? In other words, they're using the terms correctly and they're applying them to the situation, basically appropriately. Okay, but then what's the reason that they're applying this? That's the real point to tell. And so then that can be looked at by other aspects of, you know, what may be not the part that's right. So you just have to look at all those things. That's why dealing with Dharma is the most difficult. That's why devotees don't approach it. Because it's not easy. You know, you pick up a book, you know, read it through and then espouse a few things and suddenly you're a great manager and an advisor and all that. That Dharma, Shastra, that's a whole thing because you have to be able to balance all these things. So that's why by vote means devotional service, then one can start to understand. But one has to have an interest, so therefore you apply your ability here. You know, where you apply yourself, that's where you develop. Right? You apply yourself in cooking, you develop cooking. You do it in preaching, you develop that. So you apply yourself within the cultural aspects of the Vedas that they give, the religion, then you can develop an understanding. So, yes, they're right here, but what's the context for that rightness? And the other one has a context, because they're finding some context. But like they say, well, Prabhupada here says this, and so Prabhupada here saying that. That's nice. But what was the point? Because generally when they're using, what are they going to be using? They're going to be using the example. Right? They're not using necessarily the pratigya. Who quotes the first line of the purport? Or the last line. No, it's always the example in the middle. But the point is that example was in the context of the pratigya. So in that context, now using it like that, does that apply to the situation? So that's looking at these things, then you can get a better idea who's right and who's not. So, yeah. Like that. Right, so the context and intent, you have to look at those.
It's very hard to get to people's intent, really.
Well, it's just a matter of questions. You know, how they, because otherwise, why are they starting where they're starting? Right, if there's a logical presentation, there's no attachment. And then the bigger the background story before they get to the point, the more attachment is there. You know, so there's indications. Then there's the whole, I mean, we haven't gotten into it, but all the physiognomy, all these different things that the, you know, devotees generally don't get into that. They look at the charts because it's just math and that, but you know, that's only one of six aspects of the science. Right? We take it Jyotish means the charts. That's one of six. Like that. So most of the other ones aren't dealt with. Sukadeva Goswami comes into the assembly. It's by physiognomy that they tell who he is. You know, like that. You know. I don't think there were any Nambudris there with their shells, so that they were throwing their things and, oh! You know, like that. So it was physiognomy. Okay. Durvasa Muni said, Maharaj Ambarish, you have invited me to eat as a guest, but instead of feeding me, you yourself have eaten first. Right? So he's interpreted he's eaten. But it also can be not eaten. So the Brahmins took it as not eating, he's taking it as eating. You know, of course, you're trying to to take care of the guest, but at the same time, the guest also has to be, he try to make an effort also. It means from our side, we don't say, but the guest himself should be trying to make some effort. That's why, yeah, specifically Brahmins are guests.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes, God, it's not only about the guests, but if you do something and the person becomes offended, but you did something right, and, you know, just was, the situation was not pleasant, but it was not really your fault, and the person gets unnecessarily offended because he thinks that he's right.
His right to get offended.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, because everybody.
Emotions, yeah.
Yeah.
But then, will you get any reactions?
Means there is. There is.
But they're minor? If you perform your duties.
You're performing your duty, but then within the duties, you have to also try to factor in those things and what you can do besides that. So that means if you're doing your duty and things don't work out, they get upset, then you're apologizing for that they're upset.
And you did that too.
Then you're done. Like that. It means if you can do more, great, but if not, then you've done your part.
But if you apologize and they're still not satisfied, that's
you know, it depends upon how good was your effort, you know. You know, I'm sorry, can you get over it? You know, like that. Then maybe, you know, it may. Yeah. You know, yeah. So it's just a matter, in other words, if it's sincere, then you've done your best. And so that's the point, you know, at that point, then okay, then whatever is going to, and then it's up to Krishna, whatever is going to be, will be. So that's the position one takes. You know, so it's always a consideration. Okay. Because of your misbehavior, I shall show you something to punish you. Srila Prabhupada writes, a devotee cannot be defeated by a so-called mystic yogi. This will be proved by the failure of Durvasa Muni's endeavor to chastise Maharaj Ambarisha. Right, so up to this point he was a mystic yogi. But at this point now, he becomes a so-called mystic yogi. Because he has the mystic powers, but he's not using them for anything, any valuable purpose. Like that. So, because the devotee is also a mystic yogi, because the highest means you're on the mystical platform, you're dealing with transcendence. So it's even beyond mystic. You know? So, I say meta mystic.
Super mystic.
Super mystic. Yeah. Harav Abhaktasya Kuto Mahad Gunaha. Srimad Bhagavatam 5:18-12. Footnote 12. All the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Even if he is adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own material speculations and must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a man? Srimad Bhagavatam 5:18-12. Right. So here, he's adept at mystic yoga, but you know, he's got that, or he's honest endeavor of maintaining, he's just trying, he's so sincere. But all that, those qualities that you see manifest, they aren't actually theirs. And so where will the great good benefit be gotten? Okay, he takes care of his kids nicely. He's very that, but he's not interested in God consciousness. Right? So then his next life, there's so many animals that they take care of their kids. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, so like that. So then he'll become one of those rather than one that doesn't take care of their kids. Like that. Is that, yeah. So these things where we shift it to the quality of material life and ignore the quality of spiritual life, this is just mundane. It's not spiritual at all. It's not like, oh, yukta vairagya, it's just mundane. Okay. One who is not a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord has no good qualifications. However great a mystic, philosopher or fruit of worker he may be, only a devotee emerges victorious in all circumstances. So we say mystic, philosopher, fruit of, that means that's the whole material offering. You know, karma, jnana, and yoga. There isn't anything outside of that. Only a devotee emerges victorious in all circumstances. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued, as Durvasa Muni said this, his face became red with anger, uprooting a bunch of hair from his head. Wow. Serious. He created a demon resembling the blazing fire of devastation to punish Maharaj Ambarish. Taking a trident in his hand and making the surface of the earth tremble with his footsteps, that blazing creature came before Maharaj Ambarish. But the king, upon seeing him, was not at all disturbed and did not move even slightly from his position.
Maybe he was just tired and hungry.
I don't think so, but yeah, it could be an interpretation. Yes.
It's coming up.
It's coming up. Srila Prabhupada writes, following the examples of Ambarish Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, a devotee should learn how to tolerate all such awkward positions in this world. Devotees are often tortured by non-devotees, yet the pure devotees depend fully on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's never disturbed by such inimical activities. Remember once one devotee was telling me, I think it was back in the 70s, so he's riding on the train, Calcutta Mayapur, that train. And it comes to some stop, and I guess they had been at a stop and they saw through the window that there was a Westerner sitting there. So these two guys get on the train, it's while it's still at the station. And they pull out this big knife, you know, and they tell him, in Bengali, you know, give us your money and stuff like that. And he was chanting japa. And he just was, you know, still chanting and just staring at them. No expression, no nothing, just staring at them. And then they, you know, they're there for a while and they start looking at each other and they lose their confidence. They say, and they turn to each other and they tell each other, and Bengali says, he's just chanting. You know, what's going on here? So then they lose their nerve and then they get off the train just before it leaves, right? You know. So, yeah. I mean, we might point out the guy was Italian, so that might have had something to do with it. He's just chanting. No, he was thinking about 10 different ways he could kill them, but he wasn't sure which one to use. Yeah. Yeah. But the point is, he just chanted, and they went away. So that's it. Krishna takes care. He just depended on Krishna and chanted, and then they didn't know what to do. Yeah, because everyone freaks out and this and that, and then they get more fired up. But he just sat there. It's like, yeah, so... Or you have to, you call that a knife? You pull out something three times bigger. Yeah. Yeah, that one says, okay, yeah, no problem. Okay, yeah.
This the whole story seems to be out of proportion, because for a minor thing, you know, Durvasa is getting, you know, so agitated, and apparently he was meditating, so he was like very peaceful and everything, and then he jumps.
But the thing is because he's not a devotee, then their ego and everything. Because Durvasa is like in the universe, he's famous. Everyone knows Durvasa. So then, if he's not being dealt with, you know, just so perfectly. But he's also famous for getting angry easily, because Durvasa, isn't he the, there were three incarnations, and he's the one that has the mode of ignorance.
Yeah, yeah.
So therefore he gets angry.
Durvasa, and who was the...
I think Yajna? Yes. So he's the he's the one that has that aspect of ignorance.
It's like, but he's almost waiting, you know, where I can
get. But if you tolerate that, he is so pleased. That was Kunti. So when he came to the Yadu dynasty, knowing his nature, nobody wanted to take care of him. You know, because but Kunti was the only one to take care. So she, being such a great devotee and all that, so she took care. And, you know, everything, did everything very nicely, and he was so pleased that despite him being Durvasa Muni and all that, she took care and was unafraid. So therefore, then he gave her the benediction of the mantra.
Radharani also?
Huh?
Radharani also?
Yes, yes, also. Girl. Yeah, yeah, like that. You know, so the point is if they deal, then you get, so that's the point, is Shiva's Asutosh, so easily angered, easily pleased. You know, so it's just, you have to be able to get over the anger part, and then it works really good. So, yeah. So like that. So it's for him, this, it happens because he's a yogi. He's not a devotee. If he was a devotee, then we wouldn't see that. That's the comparison. Just like Vishwamitra and then Haridas Thakur. That comparison's made like that. Because if he says, "Oh no, but that was that was Menaka," and that the other was just a prostitute, then okay, but then what about when Maya Devi herself came? So that, now that's way beyond. That is so far above Vishwamitra's pay grade. You know, it's not even up for discussion. Right. So that's all.
That's why Duryodhana sent him to Yudhishthira when they were in the forest.
Ah, yes, expecting.
And then he himself serves. When Durvasa comes, Duryodhana himself serves, because he's just to make sure no mistake.
Yeah, because otherwise his whole empire could be destroyed. You know, that's the point. Because he does so much austerity that whatever he says, that will happen. But he can't apply it against devotees, because then you're dealing outside. Means mystic yoga is within the material world, so it'll only work with materialists. But as soon as you deal with devotees, it's outside, it's in the transcendental, it can't have effect. Like that.
Is this the tendency of the Brahmins or would the yogis to be irritable?
It mentions about the rishis, that's one of the things of the munis, is that they're sense controlled, so that makes them very powerful. That's why they have the power to curse, and they become easily angered.
Because Vasishtha, she would get the understanding that him and Vishwamitra, so Vishwamitra is very irritable, and Vasishtha is kind of calm. But then he curses.
Yeah, but in comparison. But he's also a great mystic. I mean, you know, like this. But Vishwamitra, his background, he was a Kshatriya. And then from being a Kshatriya, he saw that there's bigger Kshatriyas, and there's the emperor, and then he finds out then there's Brahmins. And then there's Vishwamitra, who's
Brahma.
What's the son of Brahma?
Brahmarshi,
like that. So then he's got to be that. And then Brahma says, "Okay, now you're a Brahmarshi." Says, "No, Vishwamitra has to say it." Like that. Okay, we get it. You know, so you do get these, because they've narrowed down. That's the other aspect, is that in general we're used to materialists and they get angry and this and that, but they're so distracted by so many desires that they can't actually focus. Yeah. But these perv, they've reduced their material desires down to so minimal that their focus is so great that if it does focus on any one thing, it's very, very intense. So to that degree he can meditate, to that degree he can get focused on something and get upset. Well, people who don't have their senses controlled, they have thousands of desires, so it's all just pulling at once, and they can never actually... So unless something becomes really, really prominent, you know, like that, you know, they go into the fridge and somebody ate the brie, you know, then, okay, then we have, you know, some case, you know, but other than that, then, you know. So, yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued, as fire in the forest immediately burns to ashes an angry snake, so by the previous order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his disc, the Sudarshan Chakra, immediately burned to ashes the created demon to protect the Lord's devotee. That was definitely not considered by Durvasa Muni. He did not, I'm sure it didn't even come up in any capacity, that one.
Right.
Yes.
When we say that anger comes, means intelligence is lost.
Yes.
Is this the case too?
Yes. Because otherwise, means if you take it that drinking water can be eating or not eating, then you take it as eating, but then does that mean he'll never also eat?
Never.
Yeah, he's only going to drink water, right, like that. So it's not actually taking it far enough, because Brahmins are supposed to be liberal. But at the same time, he's Durvasa, and so therefore, So within the material, then you would say he's a great mystic, he's an intelligent man, he's quite qualified Brahmin, all these things. But when it comes then between him and a devotee, that's when there's a difference. That's where there's a lack. They say. Yeah. Where he comes up short. Does that make sense? Srila Prabhupada comments. A devotee is never fearful of his death, for he meditates on the Supreme Personality of Godhead always, not for any material profit, but as his duty. The Lord, however, knows how to protect his devotee. That's why he's saying, you can say, no, but I'm thinking of the Lord. Why is this happening to me? That means then I'm expecting that I'll get profit from that meditation. Right? So it's not exactly the same as doing it because that's the natural position of the soul. The Lord, however, knows how to protect his devotee. Konteya pratijanihi name bhaktaf pranashyati. Bhagavad Gita 9:31. One simply begins devotional service, he is immediately protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:66. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. Protection begins immediately. The Lord is so kind and merciful that he gives the devotee proper guidance and all protection. And thus the devotee very peacefully makes solid progress in devotion in Krishna consciousness without outward disturbances. A serpent may be very angry and ready to bite, but the furious snake is helpless when faced by a blazing fire in the forest. Right? Can't bite the fire. This doesn't really work. Although an enemy of a devotee may be very strong, he is compared to an angry serpent before the fire of devotional service. So the point is, take shelter of devotional service. That's the actual protection. Means if within your duties there's things you should do, then you do that. But otherwise, then you just take shelter of devotional service. Krishna will take care. Because even if you're doing your duties, it's still up to Krishna the results that will come. We just had the Purnima. Right? Oh no, there's another Purnima. No? What is the next?
What's the connection?
The month, from the Purnima before Gaur Purnima to the Purnima after, that's like the main mosquito season. Yeah, that 2 months. Because it's festival, all the foreigners are here. Mosquitoes fly in from Bangladesh. Like that.
Muslim train?
I'm not sure. No, no. It's just that it's a, it's come on. It's foreign goods.
Foreign blood.
Yeah.
Imported.
Imported. I remember once we were sitting at a table, and there were tons of mosquitoes, and then there was like 6 or 8 devotees there. And one of them's going, wow, so many mosquitoes in that. And everyone's going, mosquitoes? No mosquitoes. And so then he got up and left. And then as soon as he got up, then another 2 or 3, mosquitoes like this. And then they left. And then like that. And then finally at the end, only then after everyone left, then they bit me. And so then when I inquired from him, I says, well, the first guy, where's he from? And he was from England. So they're always the first one. Doesn't matter where you're from, the English get it first. Like that. And then after that, then Australians, and then Americans. Like that. So they're
English,
the first to go.
English is something personal.
Yes. Because they did it.
I still remember.
Yeah, I'm sure if any Mongols showed up, they'd bite them also. But it's British, it's national, right? You know, like that. And then after that, then Europeans, and then anybody that's not from around there, and then whoever's local, then that's the last, because you know that you say rice and dal, you can get anything. Right? You know, but when you get all the fancy stuff, then you know, hey. You know.
Like that, so. Then the Italians should be first.
No, I don't know. Something about the British. They...
No, British is personal.
Oh, I see. Yeah, then after that, then the Italians. Yes, of course. Like that. Yeah, because it's very rare you get, you know, so many. If Omkar was there, they'd bite him. Right? But, Shishugadev Goswami. Okay, Shishugadev Goswami continued. Did we say about the verses? Verses 49 to 62, Durvasa Muni flees from Sudarshana. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Upon seeing that his own attempt had failed and that the Sudarshan chakra was moving towards him, right? Okay. So, see, he's qualified, he's smart. Right? Durvasa Muni became very frightened and began to run in all directions to save his life. As the blazing flames of a forest fire pursue a snake, the disc of the Supreme Personality of Godhead began following Durvasa Muni. Durvasa Muni saw that the disc was almost touching his back, and thus he ran very swiftly, desiring to enter a cave of Sumeru Mountain. I guess his idea was, okay, Sudarshan's big, I'll enter a cave, it's small enough, he gets stuck at the door. Yeah. Just to protect himself, Durvasa Muni fled everywhere, in all directions, in the sky, on the surface of the earth, in caves, in the ocean, on different planets of the rulers of the three worlds, and even on the heavenly planets. But wherever he went, he immediately saw following him the unbearable fire of the Sudarshan chakra. With a fearful heart, Durvasa Muni went here and there, seeking shelter. But when he could find no shelter, he finally approached Lord Brahma and said, "O my Lord, O Lord Brahma, kindly protect me from the blazing Sudarshan chakra sent by the Supreme Personality of Godhead." Lord Brahma said, "At the end of the Dviparada, when the pastimes of the Lord come to an end, Lord Vishnu, by a flick of his eyebrows, vanquishes the entire universe, including our places of residence. Such personalities as me and Lord Shiva, as well as Daksha, Bhrigu, and similar great saints of which they are the head, and also the rulers of the living entities, the rulers of human society, and the rulers of the demigods, all of us surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, bowing our heads to carry out his orders for the benefit of all living entities." Srila Prabhupada comments. In Bhagavad Gita 10:34, it is said, "Mrityu sarva haras chaham." When the Supreme Personality of Godhead approaches as death, or as the Supreme Controller of time, he takes everything away. In other words, all opulence, prestige, and everything we possess is given by the Supreme Lord for some purpose. It is the duty of the surrendered soul to execute the orders of the Supreme. No one can disregard him. Under the circumstances, Lord Brahma refused to give shelter to Durvasa Muni from the powerful Sudarshan chakra sent by the Lord. Right? So, because in other words, we're under his control. He, just by like just a flick of his eyebrows, then the whole universe is destroyed. So it's not that we have any power to counteract that. We surrender to the Lord. The Lord is after you. We're not getting in the way. Right? That's the... Sukadev Goswami continued. Then, when Durvasa, who was greatly afflicted by the blazing fire of the Sudarshan chakra, was thus refused by Lord Brahma, he tried to take shelter of Lord Shiva, who always resides on his planet, known as Kailash. Lord Shiva said, "My dear son, I, Lord Brahma, and the other demigods who rotate within this universe under the misconception of our greatness, cannot exhibit any power to compete with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For innumerable universes and their inhabitants come into existence and are annihilated by the simple direction of the Lord. Past, present, and future are known to me, Lord Shiva, Sanat Kumar, Narada, the most revered Lord Brahma, Kapila, the son of Devahuti, Apan Taratma, Lord Vyasadev." That's a far out name. Apan Tarat. Apan Taratama. Apan Taratama. Devala, Yamaraj, Asuri, Marichi, and many saintly persons headed by him, as well as many others who have achieved perfection. Nonetheless, because we are covered by the illusory energy of the Lord, we cannot understand how expansive that illusory energy is. Right? They can see time, past, present, future, but they can't see everything. Right? Krishna, they can't see what Krishna can see. That's the... You should simply approach that Supreme Personality of Godhead to get relief. For this Sudarshan Chakra is intolerable even to us. Go to Lord Vishnu. He will certainly be kind enough to bestow all good fortune upon you. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments. Durvasa said, How can you who are omniscient be bewildered? Lord Shiva said, though we know everything, we do not know the Lord's Maya. Durvasa was disappointed. O Shiva, my pride and my powers has gone to hell. No one, not even Brahma, can save me. I had the hope that Shiva, my deity, would protect me. That has been a failure. Now in order to save my life, I must go to Vishnu, because of whose devotee I have ended up in such a disastrous condition. So much for my shame and life errors. In this way, he despaired. Right. Shri Sukadeva Goswami continued. Right, so he's offended a devotee of Vishnu, now he has to go to Vishnu. He was hoping his deity would save him, but it didn't work out. Shri Sukadeva Goswami continued, thereafter, being disappointed even in taking shelter of Lord Shiva, Durvasa Muni went to Vaikuntha Dham, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, resorts with his consort, the Goddess of Fortune. Now here's the interesting point, because remember that, was it here in the morning? Question came up about, you asked about Bhagavan and the Lord in the heart, and is he Bhagavan or...
No, it wasn't here.
Oh, that was in the class.
Sunday.
Yes, Sunday class. Yeah, so then when the devotee is meditating on Krishna, and Krishna appears within the heart, that way then that appearance, that's called Dhamma. He's known as Dhamma. But it means, Dhamma means he appears with the place, his paraphernalia, his associates, everything. So it says Bhagavan. So that's together. But otherwise, he's sitting in the heart as Paramatma. But if one sees as a devotee, then he's as Bhagavan. So, you know, he may look the same, but the point is he's with everybody rather than just us. Durvasa Muni, the great mystic, scorched by the heat of the Sudarshan Chakra, fell at the lotus feet of Narayana. His body trembling, he spoke as follows. O infallible, unlimited Lord, protector of the entire universe, you are the only desirable objective for all devotees. I am a great offender. My Lord, please give me protection. O my Lord, O Supreme Controller, without knowledge of your unlimited prowess, I have offended your most dear devotee. Very kindly save me from the reaction of this offense. You can do everything, for even if a person is fit for going to hell, you can deliver him simply by awakening within his heart the holy name of your lordship. Verses 63-71. Yes?
What is the qualification of Durvasa Muni that he was able to go to Vaikuntha?
He's a great mystic yogi.
So all mystic yogis can go to Vaikuntha, right?
Only great ones.
Previously, we came to this pastime when Vamandev was telling about previous ancestors of Bali Maharaj.
Uh-huh.
There it came that this Vaikuntha Dham is the one place where demigods also could go on. This is it.
Yeah, means that's where they all go when they go to see him, Swetati. Right. There's another one, but that's not discussed much. But unless Antaduip's here, he can. Seems that another one was made.
Yeah, that was of Ajita. In the journey of the Milkoshan, we saw that even Ajita has his own name.
Yeah, but that's just the second Vaikuntha planet. But that seems to be just the Lord and Lakshmi and, you know, their associates hang out on. So it's more of a private, you know, I sense.
Huh? Private residence.
Yes, private residence. Right. Well, the other, then that's Swetadweep, and that's, he has his place where he stays on the island, but then the whole planet, then that's managed by Dhruva and everything like that. So it seems the other one's, you know, away from the bustling crowds and, you know, like that. Kind of. Okay. Verses 63 to 71, the Lord instructs... No, we're done. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.